Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. As we usually do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which is the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. And we're going to do that in a moment, but first, before we do, I just want to take a moment to say to my nephew, whose birthday is tomorrow, happy birthday, Kyle. My nephew is involved in radio on the West Coast, and so we have a certain kind of affinity, and I just want to wish you a very happy birthday. We're going to take a look at the readings, as I said, for the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let's read the opening prayer. O God, who cause the minds of the faithful to unite in a single purpose, grant your people to love what you command. Because if you love what he commands, you will begin to desire what he promises. I want you to, I long for all of you listening to this program, that really you get your sights on heaven. Someone said, you know, we're so heavenly minded, sometimes we're no earthly good. I'm not talking about that. If you really have your heart set on heaven, then you have God's priorities. If you have God's priorities, you're going to very much care for the people and the things of this earth, very much. So I'm not worried about that. But I want you, as the opening prayer says, O God, who caused the minds of the faithful to unite in a single purpose, grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise. Love what you command. Love it. Because it will lead you into union with the source of all love. Love what you command and desire what you promise. Let those be the promises you pay attention to. We'll talk more about those promises. That amid the uncertainties of this world, our hearts may be fixed on that place where true gladness is found, in the heart of God himself. And that's real. That's not just pious poetry. That's real. We can dwell in the very heart of God by the power of the Holy Spirit while we live on this earth. If we seek to make his priorities ours, if we choose and make those decisions to follow him, he will draw closer as we make those decisions. We pray all of this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. First reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua gathered together all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, summoning their elders, their leaders, their judges, and their officers. And when they stood in ranks before God, Joshua addressed all the people, "If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve." That's addressed to us. If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve. The gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you are now dwelling. As for me, and he says this to the whole assembled people, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's a very important decision. It's an essential decision to be made. Whom will you follow? But the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. For it was the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of a state of slavery. He performed those great miracles before our very eyes and protected us along our entire journey and among the peoples through whom we passed. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." We need to make that decision. That decision cannot be, "Oh, yeah, of course I'll serve God." No, you need to really look at it. Will I serve him? That was the cause of the fall of the angel who became Satan. You know, Satan was a fallen angel. "I will not serve," he said. "I will not serve." There's no middle ground in this. You either do serve or you don't serve. So make sure that you're clear. You personally are clear. And then help others to do the same. Psalm 34, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. And it's true, when we follow him, when we really do his bidding and go his way, there's such peace and joy. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them. From all their distress, he rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Those who are crushed in spirit, he saves. Is that where you are in great distress right now? Brokenhearted, crushed in spirit? Turn to him. The world cannot take that pain from you. It can only drug you. It cannot take the pain away from you. But God can. Put your trust in him. Many are the troubles of the just one, but out of them all the Lord delivers him. We do have many troubles in this life, but out of them all the Lord delivers him. If you choose to follow him and make his priorities your own, his commandments your commandments. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 5, brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. All of us need to do that, to really listen to one another, to take the time not to be the one who just gives all the orders, but the one who listens to hear the needs of the other, the reasoning of the other. Really listen. Even if you're in charge and the decision you make is contrary, if somebody knows they've been listened to, they're much more able to follow. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church. That position of authority does not give any room for lording it over or demanding. It does not. You are a servant leader, men and women, according to various situations where you are the leader, you are a servant leader. And all of us need to get that clear. All of us. For the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself the savior of the body. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Now, you're going to say some of this is colored by culture, etc., etc. Oh, I don't have time to go through this. I wish I did. I wish I had time to explain this to you so you could see that the one who is in authority does not dominate. It's a servant leadership. It's an order that bears fruit. But it's a servant leadership. It doesn't mean subordination. Think about that for a while. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That means you will do anything for her, including dying for her. If you're not willing to do that, you can't lead. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. I wish I had time to really develop that for you and show you, but for right now, each of us should think of ourselves as the servant of the other. There's a mutual servanthood in marriage, all kinds of things. And there are other responsibilities that flow out from that. But first and foremost, we're called to serve one another. That means to bring one another as close to God as possible. By our love, by our care, by our kindness, by our forgiveness. Each of us, husband, wives, friends, religious communities, all of us, in all of our interactions, are called to love one another. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 60 to 69. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." And what Jesus was saying is, you have to put everything aside to follow me, to be my disciple. You have to be willing to leave people to be my disciple. You have to be willing to set up a different set of priorities than your flesh would like to go to be my disciple. "These words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not. Notice that was not who cannot, it who would not believe, and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." The Father imparts the grace. It's up to us to receive it and to put him first and to follow him before all else, brothers and sisters, before all else. When we're willing to do that, then marriages are fruitful and marriages lead to greater unity. We have to be, first of all, a disciple of the Lord, a son or daughter of the Father. When those relationships are in place, then the marital relationship bears tremendous fruit in holiness of life. We've got to get things in the right order. Jesus says, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." But it's the Father with our cooperation. God will never deny us the open door, never, until we choose to shut it and say, "Nope, going my own way." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. See, it really is a change from a former way of life to a new way of life. You need to read the scriptures every day to understand that. Everything else falls into place, into right order, into peace, into harmony, into unity when we choose above all to be his disciple. And Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, "Do you also want to leave?" That must have been very plaintive. "Do you also want to leave me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." Make that personal, brothers and sisters. "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I have come to believe. I am convinced that you are the Holy One of God." May that decision flame in your heart, really flame, and bear fruit 100-fold. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.